Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We are continuing in chapter 2. The section we are in is Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 19. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 19. Our focus, of course, is on verses 16 and 17 that we gave introduction to last week. Again, it reads, "Let not anyone, therefore, be judging you in food or in drink or in respect of a feast or of a new moon or of Sabbaths, which are a shadow of the coming things, but the body or substance is of Christ." He has said back in chapter 2, verse 4, that there will be people come in bringing false doctrines, but they will be very persuasive in their presentation to you. And that they are encouraged, chapter 2, verse 6, that as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, that is by faith, so in the same way walk in him. The Judaizers or the legalists were a main problem to new believers in Paul's day, and it is a movement, a major movement in our day, where Christians are being told that having Christ is not enough. That you have Christ, but in order to keep your salvation, you must keep the law of Moses from the Old Testament. The dietary laws, keep the feasts and festivals, and especially keep the Sabbath. Next week, we're going to focus on the Sabbath day and what the Bible teaches about the Sabbath day. It's a very fascinating study. It's a very interesting study. But his presentation in chapter 2, especially at verse 9, that in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 10 says, "And you are complete in Christ." All of God is complete in Christ, and I am complete in Christ because Christ is in me. I have all of God. Once he saves me and once he indwells me by his Spirit, that is called the finished work of Christ. He died for me on the cross so that I can be saved. Once I receive Christ, and based on the payment that Christ made on the cross, I can be saved. I can receive Christ and be saved by his Spirit. Once I'm saved, I can't get any more saved than that. I can't lose any of my salvation, and I can't gain more of it. I'm saved completely the moment that I receive Christ. Now, notice I keep using the terms receive Christ, and I keep using the terms of Christ indwelling my spirit, because we have gotten far away these last few years. Christianity, the public church, has gotten far away from proclaiming the fact that the Bible says you're saved when you're born again, when you experience a spiritual birth, when the Spirit of Christ comes to live in your spirit. That is when you are saved. Not just because you believe. We know from James chapter 2 that even the demons believe and tremble, but they're not saved. Belief alone doesn't save anyone. It's receiving Christ and receiving his Spirit into our spirit that saves us. that salvation event, I call it, that salvation experience, for everyone to be saved, they must have that experience. They must experience that event of the Spirit of Christ coming into their spirit. The legalists, the Judaizers, those who say to have Christ is not enough, they don't understand about salvation, and that's the underlying principle in all of the teachings that the Messianic movement brings, that says if you have Christ and you're saved, in order to keep your salvation, you must keep the law of Moses from the Old Testament. They don't understand what salvation is. They think salvation is just a belief. You can believe in Christ and be saved, but that's not enough. They don't understand the spiritual birth that takes place and the spiritual aspect of walking with Christ, which is what we're going to study and learn from these texts. He says in verse 16 of our text, he says, "Let not anyone, therefore, be judging you." The word judge means to pronounce a sentence on someone. And it's in the present tense, and it means it's prohibitive. Stop letting people judge you. Now that you're saved, now that you're complete in Christ, don't let anybody come along and pronounce a sentence on you. In two areas, as we saw last week, as we broke it down for you grammatically, two areas, the categories. The first one is in food or in drink. That's the first category. The second category is in or in respect of a feast or of a new moon or of Sabbaths. So there's two categories. One dealing with dietary laws, and one dealing with feasts, festivals, new moon sacrifices, and the keeping of the Sabbath days. There are various Sabbath day commands in the Old Testament, and I'll share those with you hopefully next week. So we have the command, stop letting people judge you now that you're complete in Christ. The categories that you are not to let them judge you in is in food and drink, dietary laws from the Old Testament, or in respect of a feast or of a new moon or of Sabbaths. And verse 17 tells us why. Because all of these things are a shadow. They all point to Christ. But they themselves are not Christ. It takes human effort to keep the dietary laws. There's nothing spiritual about it. It takes human effort. It takes human effort to keep the festivals of the Jews and the feasts of the Jews. It takes human effort to keep the Sabbath day. There isn't anything spiritual about it. And by that I mean produced by the Holy Spirit. Some will say, well, if I do it, if I keep the festival, then the Holy Spirit produces something in me. Well, if that's true, then the Holy Spirit is producing it in not because you're keeping the feast and festivals, but in spite of the fact you're keeping the feasts and festivals, God's Spirit is doing a work in you, not because of it. Because it's legalistic, it's human, it's religious, to keep the law of Moses, which was never meant to be used and substituted for Christ, which is a shadow of the coming things, but the body that's casting the shadow is of Christ. He's the substance. These other religious works are just human effort. You're already complete in Christ. Well, the first category that he presents to us is in food and in drink. Now, he's alluding to the fact that back in Leviticus chapter 11, God gave dietary laws to the Jews. And what animals to eat and what animals not to eat. Animals that were considered clean and animals that were considered unclean. And they were to stay away from the animals that God declared to be unclean and only eat those animals that were clean. According to Leviticus chapter 11, verses 43 and 44, right in the middle of the presentation, God expresses why he is giving these dietary laws to the Jews. The main reason is to keep them separated, to keep them from intermingling with the nations around them. They are not to eat the foods or participate with animals that the other nations eat and the other nations use as their animal sacrifices. And by staying away from certain animals, they would then be separated from the nations around them. So it's like being invited over to someone's house to eat and finding out the food that they're preparing and are going to serve and eat, that the food is unclean and you religiously are not allowed to eat it. What God is saying is that keeps you from socializing. It keeps you from mixing with them. It keeps you separate. So separation and holiness, that sanctification, is the main purpose for God giving the dietary laws. There are some health benefits involved, but that was not the purpose for giving the dietary laws. There are other dietary laws that different religious groups practice. I can remember many years ago when the Catholic Church had people eat fish on Friday, wouldn't let people eat meat. Of course, that changed. There are other dietary laws that other religious groups have about what you can eat and not eat. The Mormons say not to drink anything with caffeine in it, no coffee, in order to keep them in good membership within the church. So there are different religious systems, but specifically among the Jews, they were given dietary laws that didn't produce anything spiritual other than separation from the influence of being with the other nations around them. So that's important to understand the purpose for giving the dietary laws in Leviticus chapter 11. But once Jesus came, under the influence of this new ministry and new covenant, not the old covenant of the Old Testament, the Tanakh, but of the new covenant, Jesus taught that under the new covenant, the old covenant dietary laws were not in force. In Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23, Jesus said, it says, "And after Jesus called all the crowd to himself, he was saying to them, 'Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing entering into him from outside of the man which is able to defile him. But the things going out from him, these are the things defiling the man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Interesting. Keep that in mind as we go through Isaiah chapter 50, because the servant of Yahweh is going to say Yahweh gave him an ear to hear and to represent the truth and word of God. "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he entered into a house away from the crowd, the disciples were asking him concerning the parable. And he says to them, 'Are you this way without understanding also? Do you not perceive that everything entering the man from outside is not able to defile him?'" In other words, it might make you sick. It might make you not feel well physically and humanly, but it doesn't defile you. It is spiritually doesn't defile you. Food going into the mouth doesn't touch your spirit and does not defile you, because it does not enter into his heart, but into his stomach and goes out into the latrine, purifying all the food. And he was saying that that which is going out of the person from the mouth, this is what defiles the man. For from within, from out of the heart of man, are going out evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things go out from within, and they are what defile the man. So Jesus said it's from out of the heart. Your sin and your defilement comes from out of the heart. It's not the food that you take in that defiles you, but rather it's your heart and the things that come out of the heart. So Jesus is saying you can keep the dietary laws all you want to, especially if you're Orthodox Jewish and you haven't received Christ yet. But if you do, realize this, it has no spiritual impact upon your life whatsoever. Evil comes from out of your heart, not from out of what you eat. And then in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Paul taught the Romans the same thing. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but rather righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not eating and drinking. It's not physical. But it's the presence of the Holy Spirit and His righteousness and His peace and His joy in your life. And then in Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 16. Interesting that Peter had an interesting experience. Peter being Jewish, it says in Acts chapter 10, verses 9 to 16, that he was taking a journey and he went up to a house, up on the top of the roof. And what they did in those days, they had their patios and their places of prayer and even places to eat up on the roof. They had flat roofs. And so there would be a stairway on the outside of the house where people would go up to pray or even to sleep or even to eat. So Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 9, and the next day, as they were journeying and drawn near to the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making ready, that is the food, a trance fell upon him. And he was viewing heaven that had been opened. And a certain object descending upon him like a great sheet, having been bound by four corners. And it was being let down upon the earth, in which were all the four-footed animals of the earth, and the wild beasts, the creeping things, and the birds of heaven. All the animals of the earth were represented on this sheet as it was being lowered down, and he saw it in a trance. And a voice came to him, saying, after rising up, Peter, sacrifice these animals and eat them. But Peter said, certainly not, Lord, because I never ate anything common or unclean. In other words, Lord, you're telling me to do something that I have never done. I've never violated the dietary laws. I've never eaten anything unclean. And yet you're telling me to sacrifice and eat. And a voice spoke to him again for the second time. What God cleansed, you do not make common. This happened three times. Peter had to debate with the Lord back and forth. And the object was taken up into heaven again. So later, Peter found out that this is making reference to the fact that there were people who were going to be at the gate of the house here pretty soon, asking him to come to Cornelius's house. Cornelius is a Gentile. He's unclean. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans or the Gentiles because they are considered to be unclean. So what God is saying is by having Peter eat unclean things, according to the dietary law, is that he has done away with the force of the dietary laws, and he's basically telling Peter this separation that has taken place through the giving of these ceremonial or dietary laws are now no longer in force because I'm sending you to these people who are unclean. So see, it emphasizes the whole meaning and purpose of the dietary laws in Leviticus chapter 11. It's to stay separate from the other people and nations around them. And so that's why God gave Peter this vision. It's not so that he could go out and start eating food that the dietary law said not to eat, but rather the separation, which was the whole purpose for the dietary laws, the separation was no longer in force. The dietary laws under the new covenant were also no longer in force because it wasn't just a health issue. It was a separation issue. And when Jesus comes into a person's life, they are set apart and separated for him. We're not sanctified, we're not holy, we're not separate because of what foods we eat or don't eat, or what religious practices we do or don't do. This is a personal relationship with Christ. And that's what these laws are. The ceremonial and dietary laws are human effort. They don't produce anything spiritual. And that's what God was doing with Peter, to break this separation and making it spiritual, saying, I'm going to send you to the people who are unclean so that they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then finally, in Acts chapter 15, and for those of you interested in this subject, Acts chapter 15 really is the underlying segment of scripture dealing with law-keeping, ceremonial, and dietary laws. In Acts chapter 15, at the beginning of the chapter, Gentiles were being saved. Some Jews who believed, they were believers. Some Jews came and said, now that you Gentiles believe in Yahweh, in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, now you must keep the customs given to us by Moses. But of course, when Paul heard this and the others, they came and there was a great dissension with these Jewish legalists saying, no, we don't, they're not under the law of Moses and the customs of Moses. And so they began to rehearse and began to study the conversion of the Gentiles, that it was spiritual and it was by faith. And so they said, let's go to Jerusalem, to where the head elders were of the church. Let's go to Jerusalem and let's settle this matter, because we've got now a lot of Gentiles being saved, whereas at the beginning it was all Jewish. And now Gentiles are hearing the gospel and they're being saved. We have to know what to do with the Gentiles as far as them keeping the law of Moses. And so they came into Jerusalem and gathered the elders together, and they had this big council where people got up to speak before the council made their decision. There was a sect of the Pharisees who were believers. That is, they held to their old customs, not ready to let go yet, and they were called Pharisees, yet they were believers in Jesus Christ. And they came and they said, well, if Gentiles are being saved, and in order for them to be saved, they said that they must keep the commands of Moses, the law of Moses, and they must keep all of the commands. So Peter gets up, and he says, God has raised me up. Remember, this is the guy back in Acts chapter 10 that had the sheet come down and the unclean foods, and he actually debated with the Lord, and the Lord says, if I call it clean, you don't call it unclean. And he understood that later to be, go to the Gentiles and preach the gospel. So he comes and he says, I'm coming to give you testimony that in the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles, that their hearts were purified by faith. It is their faith in Christ and what Christ did for them that they were saved. It was by faith. It wasn't by the keeping of the law. So Peter went on to say in verse 11 of that chapter, we believe that it is through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as those. Everybody, Jew and Gentile alike, it's by the grace of God through faith. It's not by the keeping of the law. This is spiritual, and it is by faith. This is relationship, not religion. So what the council did, the council listened to all of this testimony, and they decided that indeed the Gentiles were not to come under the law of Moses. Interesting, because they wrote a letter that was distributed to all of the churches about the decision that was made about this matter. It's recorded in Acts chapter 15, verses 23 to 29. Here's what it says. And having written this letter through their hand, the apostles and the elders and the brothers, to the brothers from out of the Gentiles, according to Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we heard that some had gone out from us, troubling you with words unsettling your souls, saying that it is necessary to be circumcised and to keep the law, to whom we gave no command, as we didn't send them out. They didn't represent the church and the leaders of the church. It seemed to us, having come with together in unity, having chosen men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have given over their lives on behalf of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have therefore sent Judas, Silas, they also reporting the same things through their word or through their testimony. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no further burden than these necessary things, to abstain from things sacrificed to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality, by keeping yourselves from which such things you will do well. Goodbye. So the four things that they said, abstain from things sacrificed to idols. Abstain from blood, eating meat with blood in it or just blood in and of itself. From things that are strangled, not killed properly. And from sexual immorality. These are the only four things that Gentiles were told they must do in order to keep the unity of fellowship between themselves and the Jews. No other laws, nothing about the keeping the Sabbath day, nothing about keeping the dietary laws, because like Peter said, they were purified by faith in Jesus Christ. By through God's grace they were saved. Not by the keeping of the law. And going back to what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, the same way that you received Christ Jesus the Lord, in the same way walk with him. Did you believe by faith? Did you receive him by faith? Were you saved by his grace? Then walk by faith. Walk in his grace. Legalism and the law does not produce that, does not produce faith, does not produce grace. And so this letter was sent out, which is really the heart of the issue for this entire series or system of false teachings. What are believers to do? Is having Christ enough? Are we supposed to be keeping the Torah of Moses, which is what the Hebrew translation of Acts chapter 15 actually says? The Messianic movement, those who profess to promote the Messianic movement say, it says the law of Moses, but that's not what it means. It's only making reference to the oral traditions that the Jews said you must do in order to obey the law, not the law itself. But oh yes, it says the law of Moses. But that's how they get around it. It's man's tradition as to how to keep the Sabbath, but not really you're supposed to keep the Sabbath. Of course, if you do that, how do you keep the Sabbath? Because you can't do it with any explanations, because then you're dealing with oral tradition. There isn't any way that the text says in the Old Testament how to keep it, unless you have oral traditions, which the Jews do. So, going back to our text in Colossians chapter 2, this is why Paul says, do not allow yourself to be judged in the area of eating and drinking. A relationship with Christ has nothing to do spiritually with physical food. It has nothing to do with physical ceremonial ritual of any kind. That's human. And so he's encouraging the believers. In fact, he said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, stand firm, therefore, in the freedom which Christ made us free, and do not be entangled again in the yoke of slavery. Going back and keeping laws and rules and regulations is slavery because it's human effort. And I have to keep track. Am I keeping it correctly? Am I doing this right? I messed up. And then somebody comes along and says, well, you lost your reward. You didn't keep it correctly. Paul says in Galatians 5:1, which in Galatians he's dealing with the same problem. Christ has set us free from laws, rules, and regulations to have a relationship with him. So don't get entangled again into slavery, into the rules and regulations that one must do in order to stay Christian or keep one's salvation. Don't let that happen to you. Next week, we will study about the feasts and the new moon, and especially about the Sabbath days. Exactly what were they for? What did they represent? And how do they apply to us? Especially the study on the Sabbath day is a very fascinating study. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and these times. Certainly at some time or another, we come across the presentation, or at least the thought that we are supposed to be keeping certain laws and rules and regulations. Help us to be able to ferret out the information. Help us to see that all through Paul's writings, and especially the ministry of Christ himself, there was a message of freedom. To be born of the Spirit of Christ, one is made complete, not the keeping of laws and rules and regulations. So we pray that by your Spirit, you would help us to understand these things. In Jesus' name, amen.